happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Hi everyone, it's Gay USA, and I'm on the wrong side of the box because Andy is not here. But I am joined very happily today by
Maren Johns, editor-in-chief of Queer 40. I can't believe I get to co-host with you again, Anne. It's such a pleasure.
It is a pleasure, and hold your horses. We're going to be here for 3 weeks like this, so this is the beginning, and we'll see if we can do a whole 3 weeks. It's going to be exciting. First, Andy is off for 3 weeks, traveling the globe, but always staying in touch. So hi, Andy, if you're out there. And I want to start by thanking all of you for your generosity. We put out a pitch once a year towards the end of the year and ask for your help in keeping this show on the air. And you're just magnificent in doing so and helping us in, you know, big, little donations, whatever. Every single penny is put to good use. And mostly we're so moved by the notes you send us. Maren, they send us the nicest notes telling us how much the show means to them. To get the information and the attitude that they get here that they don't get anywhere else. So we really, really appreciate all of that.
Yes, and please write to me because I love fan mail. No, just kidding. I have to earn it. I know I'm going to be very good.
Shameless, desperate plea. For... All right, well, I hope we're... Tell us your email address and we'll put it up on the screen too.
Not a chance.
Well, look her up. You'll find her.
You'll find her.
Well, we've got a chock full show today. We may need an hour and a half, but we're going to squeeze it all into an hour. Starting with the shocking news in the last couple of days that anti-LGBTQ protesters, you know, those creeps who go around charging groomers and pedophiles, have invaded our neighborhood here in Chelsea in New York, a very gay neighborhood. And New York City gay council member Eric Botcher, our council member, was personally attacked in the middle of this. And he is our guest in just a minute here on Gay USA.
Now, Anne, are we skipping to the next headlines and yes, just doing a little variety? So while we're still in the area of New York, we have newly elected gay representative George Santos, the Republican from Long Island. Looks like he's lied about who he is.
And you think that the Republicans might react, but no, they're going to keep him. We'll go into details. We told you last week that the U.S. House committee was about to hold a hearing on anti-LGBTQ massacres at the Pulse and Club Q nightclubs. Well, they held the hearing and it was completely poisoned by Republican denials of responsibility for their violent anti-LGBTQ rhetoric.
Yes, and in another example of the red rag for the bull, we had President Joe Biden signing the Respect for Marriage Act in what was a joyous ceremony on the White House lawn. But of course, there's been some reactions to that.
Of course, but finally, a little good news and also good news. France has announced it is handing out free condoms and other health services to young people.
And in some entertainment news, our own Ryan Murphy is going to be honored with a very special Golden Globe Award.
They're trying to be very wacky this year to get some viewers back. Andy is away, but he has left us some reviews of Broadway plays. We'll share those with you.
And we've got Anne, actually, not me, but Anne's going to be telling us all about what is so cool about HBO Max's show, The Sex Lives of College Girls, renewed for another season.
Yeah, I've just finished binging season two. Are you not watching that, Maren?
No, I'm going to tell you why when we get to that segment.
Oh, stay tuned for that. I can't wait to hear either. But first, we want to start with Eric Botcher, who has been all over the news in the last couple of days. He is our local city council member here in Chelsea, out gay man for umpteen years. And he ran into some local drag queen story hour problems. But can we bring in Eric? Is he sitting there waiting to be brought in, I hope? There he is. Eric, can you tilt your screen down a little and get the top of your head up there? There we go. That's better. Hi, Eric.
Hi, thank you for joining us. We're all New Yorkers here, so we have something serious to discuss. Eric, why is this happening in New York City?
Well, this has been happening for a while in New York City. The drag queen story hours have been really attacked by this unhinged mob of people here in New York for quite some time. There have been incidents in Staten Island and Queens where these same individuals have stormed the libraries, and also they've targeted elected officials. Shaker Krishnan, his home was targeted by these same individuals a few weeks ago. So this isn't new, but for me, I attended this on Saturday, the drag story hour at the library on 20th between 5th and 6th. And
let's show that picture, Rich.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Of this dangerous event. If we can. Now, the drag queen story. Whoa.
I am outside the High School Library in Chelsea, and I want to show you the face of hate right here in Chelsea.
Remember, they got me teaching this transgenders against women. I'm Reverend Germanotta.
What are you, a pedophile? You're walking around with your fucking ugly shit, man. Get the fuck out of here.
Trannies against groomers. Yeah.
You're white. Right in Chelsea, everyone. About to go in and read to the kids. That's all we're doing. Very sad. Luckily, we had people supporting us.
Holiday season in Chelsea.
No kidding. So that was the beginning of 72 hours of chaos for us, because I filmed them. I put that video up, which went viral. I don't think that a lot of people had seen that kind of vulgar hatred like that. And the fact that it was in Chelsea really shocked a lot of people. And over the weekend, I started getting calls on my personal cell phone, like threats on my personal cell phone. And yesterday, they came to our office, our district office in Chelsea, and got up to our floor and tried to get into our actual office. They were banging on the door and screaming and yelling for like half an hour. It was really vulgar, unhinged conspiracy talk, you know, groomer this, groomer that. And when they left, they vandalized the office walls. That happened in the afternoon. In the evening, I was over at CBST at a menorah lighting. You know, I put my phone in my pocket, and as I'm walking out, I had all these missed calls from my neighbors in my building, various neighbors, and I knew immediately that meant that they had gone to my home.
And we have a picture of what they did outside your home, right outside the front door. Eric Botcher is a pedo child groomer. Charming.
Can I ask, when we talk about they and we talk about them as a group, and they certainly did look unhinged, are these people LGBTQ identified?
Apparently some of them are. I'll just add, though, that last night some of them gained entry to the building and two of them were arrested. My super intercepted them in the lobby, thank goodness. And the precinct, the police were called. They came, they arrested two of them. And apparently one of my neighbors on the block was basically assaulted by them, tried to, you know, stop to confront them when they were going into the building. And there's video of that. So they are, some of them are, believe it or not. And one of them is trans. And, you know, what I believe is that they are people with far right wing political views who are latching on to this. They latched on to the vaccine conspiracy. A lot of them are the same individuals who have tried to shut down vaccine clinics. They targeted Health Commissioner Ashwin Vasan's home. Same people. This is just yet another unhinged conspiracy that they're adopting.
And, you know, what we have shown for some weeks, months, years are the Proud Boy Oath Keeper types who show up at Drag Queen Story Hour events armed with big rifles and in, you know, assault gear. This is a different branch. This is not, as far as we know, people who are armed. But these people are just, as Maren said, unhinged and unleashed. And certainly inspired by the Republican rhetoric that they're hearing nonstop, and probably by that Young Republican Club gathering a week ago with Marjorie Taylor Greene in town and Giuliani and all the rest. It's scary. You must be a little taken aback by all this.
Yeah, I personally don't feel unsafe. I think, you know, my parents are worried. You know, they wish I would not take the lead on this issue. But, you know, I think it's important that we not cede any ground on this. I think we all need to just douse this flame with, you know, truth and facts and combat hate with love and reason. And I really believe that the vast majority of us see correctly on this. And it's a small minority of people who are trying to distort it to being something that it's not.
Eric, can I ask you, these Drag Time Story Hours across the nation have been incredibly triggering to all of these fringe groups. I believe your Saturday event was aimed to actually make reading more accessible for autistic children. What do you think is so triggering for these events, for the fringe people? It seems to me such an innocent thing to have, you know, entertainment figures who are drag queens are entertaining, encourage children to read. What to you is the thing that is offending people?
I think that this is just being used as a vessel to rehash these tropes about our community that have been there for thousands of years, really, right? That we are predatory, that we prey on children. It's something that our community has been tarred with. And I think that any way that people can come at us with that attack, they'll jump on it. And that's what I think is what's happening here. And, you know, the most absurd thing about it is, like, if you don't like the program, don't go to it. The families that were going there on Saturday, they were going there as a family, and they were met at the door with just vicious taunts and disgusting language. Just let people enjoy it. If you don't want to go to it, don't go.
Do we have that picture of the actual Drag Queen Story Hour? Yes. There's the terrible, horrible event that they're demonstrating against.
So cute. Yeah. You know, the kids, it's just like a, you know, here's a colorful figure.
That's right.
Yeah.
And saying that that's going to make the kid want to be a drag queen one day. It's like saying, like, if you bring a kid to the circus, like, oh, they're going to want to be a clown. You know, it's like, I want to be a clown when they grow up because they saw a clown at the circus. Come on.
Well, Eric, some will.
Well, I'd rather they become a drag queen than a clown, but that's a whole nother thing.
Now, and you know, of course, I'd rather people read, because that's what, if there's any grooming that is happening here, it's to encourage children to read.
Know.
I mean, I'm grateful to my male teacher who encouraged me as a small child to join a book club. And he used a paperback showing The Fonz from Happy Days to get me to read. So that's grooming. What is grooming? It is, you're encouraging people to read. That was
it. And my joke was that the judgment by the spelling on the vandalism that they obviously did not go to any story hours of any kind when they were kids.
No. Is there any institutional, first of all, support for you personally from the city, the mayor's office, your council colleagues, the state, the governor? And is there any plan to do anything to try to diminish this? Because this group, they're out of their minds as far as I'm concerned, but they're very aggressive. They're not, even the Proud Boys look tame in some ways next to them. These people are out there really charging you and hitting people and being aggressive.
The city has been great. I've got to say that in the afternoon when the vandalism happened at the office, they immediately came, the precinct commander came, and they, you know, fingerprints, you know, they really wanted to get them for the vandalism, right? And then in the evening, they came in force after they entered the building, and they, you know, they had the police tape and the squad cars. I bet everyone on our block and probably thought there was like a triple homicide in the building. There was like such a presence, right?
Exactly.
And
I live around the corner, so I saw nothing.
So they want to get them on the stuff, and my super filed a report, and you know, they just have to learn that you can't enter someone's private home. You can't do that. You're crossing a line.
Yeah, trespassing. And it was two women, I believe, who were arrested.
Yeah.
Well, you saw a lot of women in that video. Well, the problem is they do that. They don't recognize lines, and they clearly are going to keep at this until, I don't know what, the winds shift to some other target. All right. Well, thank you, Eric. We appreciate you joining us today, and, stay safe, and I appreciate your strategy, which is to meet this with love and not get sucked into the violence and the hate.
Thank you. Thank you. My first time on Gay USA.
Oh, my God. That's shocking.
We'll be back.
Well, I have to ask you one more question. You've succeeded Cory Johnson in this seat. You haven't been in office that long. You're a whirlwind of activity. How are you liking the job?
I love it more than I even thought I would, actually. As you know, I was a staffer before, so I didn't know how different it would be. And it's just so different getting to set the agenda and just charge ahead on so many different issues at once. And the feedback's been great. And it's only been 1 year. So I'm really excited for the next few years.
Okay. Well, hang in there. We look forward to that too. And thank you again for coming here. And yes, you will be back perhaps weekly.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow. It is. It's just shocking when you see how aggressive they are.
Well, it's mental illness. I see mental illness. I see that those are grown adults acting out like spiteful children, and they were worse behaved than a small child having a tantrum. So I would urge anybody there to go and get some professional help.
And I would urge people who encounter them to keep your distance and don't put yourself in danger by getting too close. Well, next we have another case that might be defined as mental illness, but more of a grown adult. Well, he's only 34, actually. George Santos. There was a huge contested election on Long Island for a House of Representatives seat. Two gay men running against each other, the Democrat Zimmerman and the Republican George Santos. That was George Santos. George Santos won in part because it was Lee Zeldin's seat, and Lee Zeldin was running for governor and drew a lot of votes from his old district, and George Santos got elected. But here's George Santos. He has lied, the New York Times told us this week, lied about where he went to college. The college has no record of him. Lied about the jobs he held. The companies he claimed to work for have no record of him. Lied about where he lives. He is not responsive at that address. lied about a charity he claims to have established.
Oh, yes, yes. It was the animal rescue charity that the IRS has no record of, and lied about working on Wall Street in two of the largest brokerage houses in the country. So they have no record of him.
Nothing. And lied about his finances across the board. He has lied about everything. And so you would think that maybe this would get him kicked out of his new congressional seat. Do not hold your breath, because the Republicans, as you know, have a very slim majority in the House of, you know, five or six seats. And they need him. They need him in the House, because if he were to resign now, New York would hold a special election for his seat, and he would not win, and the Republicans would not win. The Democrats would win, and that would cut into the Republican majority in the House. Plus, he immediately announced that he was a strong supporter of Kevin McCarthy for Speaker of the House, which is his way of saying, please don't kick me out. I'll be a good boy with you. I'll support you.
Right.
And he's a good guy.
It is very disturbing to me that, but I've always said this because I'm fascinated why American elected officials, people running for public office, often lie. They sometimes tell incredibly huge and discoverable lies because the myth-making part of it is so big in this country. And it's much bigger than the idea of public service. You can see somebody like
Well,
there's probably two different kinds of politicians. You see somebody like Eric, who is he is just serving his community. That is how he sees his job. But then you see somebody like George Santos, who builds this entire myth around himself as being the child of Brazilian immigrants that came here and kind of made his own fortune. We don't know where his money came from. We don't know where his family fortune came from. We don't know what ties that wealth has.
We don't know if he has any wealth, or, you know, someone is giving him a lot of money to win this seat and is not visible yet.
Right, exactly. He lent his own campaign $700,000. So I don't know where that money came from.
From where? So you don't have politicians like this in Australia?
No, we really don't. I mean, we're so much more like the British, the Westminster system, this idea of your party puts you forward and they've done all the checks and balances against you. And you know, we do have a two-party system. But this kind of myth-making, this kind of self-made, it's really what got Trump elected as well, this idea of somebody who can sweep in and capture the public imagination because they pull themselves up by their bootstraps and they're an American success story. But often if you dig a little deeper, you find none of it's true, or it's not, you know, not encouraging for you to be able to follow in those footsteps.
Well, the finger pointing has started at, wait for it, the Democrats. Why? Why didn't they know about this? Why didn't they publicize this? Well, it turns out they did know a lot of it and they did publicize it, but not with quite the right emphasis or spin. So now people are saying, well, they should have been much louder about this. Well, you know, he should have told the truth and the Republicans should have been a little more careful about who their candidate was. But they don't care. They're happy to have him.
Yeah, and maybe I don't know if Zimmerman felt overconfident that he was the favorite and he might win. I mean, by all accounts that I've heard, he definitely was the better candidate.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes you don't know how to attack your opponent and whether if you say stuff like this, it's somehow going to be thrown back at you, like you're too vicious and how dare you sink to that level and just debating the issues or something.
And do correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is the first time in history in this country where two gay candidates from opposing parties have actually been in a race against each other. And maybe we were a little squeamish about that.
Certainly for the House of Representatives, I can't speak for all local elections, but yeah, certainly unique. So yes, that put a difficult spin on it. Well, we've spent almost half the show on these two stories, and we only have about 100 stories to go. So let's start zipping. The president did sign the Respect for Marriage Act last week, just after we were on the air recording our show. He was on the White House lawn with big crowds of people around him. It was very moving. He gave a lovely speech. Sam Smith and Cindy Lauper sang. A couple from Vermont, an out trans state representative, Taylor Smith, and Taylor's partner, Carson Russell, got engaged at the ceremony. There they are, Taylor on the left. And one of the guests at the event was Marty Gould Cummings, who is, as we continue this theme, a drag performer from New York and was featured at the event. And then the right wing lost its mind all over again. And see, Biden is a groomer and a pedophile promoting a trans participant at the Marriage Act signing ceremony.
They're I don't just know what to tell you.
Well, I'll tell you what Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said about it. Right. He said that there was no need for this legislation. That's the Republican theme. And that the religious concerns about this are valid. I don't think so. Also, just in Biden land, the Department of Defense has lifted its ban on intersex people serving in the military. So that at least is a nice thing. Did you see any of this House committee hearing on violence?
I've seen a little bit, and I'm glad it's come up because, you know, we can be gaslit by the right and made to believe that their rhetoric is not actually having an impact on our lives. And it absolutely is. And we had the survivors of the Club Q shooting and other activists testify that the rise of anti-LGBTQ violence is being fueled by right-wing rhetoric, and it is, and it was a contributing factor to affecting the state of mind of that poor, messed-up young person who committed the Club Q shooting, and going further back, the Pulse massacre as well.
Exactly. So they hold this hearing in the House, and they have, you know, Democrats and Republican House members questioning the witnesses. Some are LGBTQ organizational people. Some are the survivors of those shootings, and it's all going along fine, and they're asking and answering sanely. And then a Republican gets a chance to answer a question and sits there and says, I can't believe you are blaming Republican rhetoric for this stuff. How dare you? These are just individual events. They have nothing to do with any overall rhetoric from anyone. How dare you? And the whole thing just went off the rails.
But it does. And it's always the weakest people, the most troubled people out there who don't have, you know, they're hidden away in their families. And the first thing I thought of when I saw who was responsible for the Club Q shooting, you look at that kid and you think, what were the parents thinking? This is a person who needed help, desperately needed help. And the judge was warned. And everybody knew this person was a ticking time bomb. And the rhetoric, of course, affected them.
And the judge who was involved in an earlier arrest said, this is going to be bad. This is heading for violence and very bad things. And sure enough, the kid ends up going into the club and shooting it up and killing five people. Really awful.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, there is a new report out from the Congressional LGBTQ plus Equality Caucus. It's their inaugural report on the condition of LGBTQ people in the U.S. It talks about education experiences, economic security, health care, housing. So that report is available if you're interested.
I think it's terrific. Great reading. And I think it's David Cicilline has had a lot in pushing this through again. He seems to do a lot of work for our community. I'm very grateful.
Meanwhile, while all this was going on and the Marriage Act was being signed, the Log Cabin Republicans, were having their annual celebration at Mar-a-Lago, their Lincoln dinner or whatever, Spirit of Lincoln dinner in December, should be in February, but whatever. And Trump gave a speech and says, "We're fighting for you. We're fighting hard for you."
No, you have to explain to me, because I don't really understand the log cabin Republican idea. They can be dancing to YMCA and the Village People on one hand, and then people who think like them can be sending crazy folks to attack a drag story hour. It feels to me like they're actually dissociating their own identities from what's good for the community.
I wish I understood any of this more deeply.
Maybe it's money. Maybe it's just all about money.
Association with celebrity. But you're right. In San Antonio, Texas last week, members of the Log Cabin Republicans joined armed extremists. We're talking Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, those types, at a protest of a drag show in San Antonio. A drag queer Christmas, calling it immoral and inappropriate for kids. Luckily, 150 saner people showed up as counter protesters. But these skirmishes are now taking Chelsea, San Antonio, everywhere you look, there are now these conflicts between the armed right wingers and the peace loving left wingers going at each other in the streets. And sometimes it devolves into an actual fist fight, and sometimes the cops keep them apart. But this has become a weekly, if not daily, event across the country.
I find it very strange, because drag queens, all kinds of female impersonators, have been entertainers for hundreds and hundreds of years. Oh, yeah. And we had a very famous movie in Australia called Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, some time ago. Yep. There weren't any protests. Yeah, there weren't protests and bloodshed and violence around this this form of entertainment. And I wonder whether or not, excuse the phrase, but do you think that these drag queen story hours are somehow the straw man now for the transgender rights movement? And it's really a kind of like a fetishistic, a transference of anger onto something that's actually completely irrelevant.
Yes, absolutely. And the right wing is notorious for many, many, many decades of picking a scapegoat who will distract from the fact that they have no agenda. They have no policy prescriptions or solutions on everything from inflation to I don't know what. But they're just out to lunch on anything sensible and real. And so they pick out these straw men and hammer away at it. And luckily, it didn't do them much good in the midterm elections. They really did forego talking about issues, and they talked about trans kids and groomers and pedophiles. And they lost a lot of races because of that.
Yeah. And speaking of trans, should we talk about, unfortunately, we are not going to see the end of this year without more trans murders?
Sure. Yes, if our director can go a little out of order on the pictures. In Phoenix, Arizona, a trans woman, Kaylee Love Light, 27 years old, was found shot in a car with a man who she had managed to stab as he was shooting her. She was Latino. She was well known as a defender of non-binary and trans people. She was an avid, voracious reader. And this is yet another senseless loss of life and loss to her community.
And that was reported by Sue in Pittsburgh. Thank you very much for your excellent work. She is the main person keeping up with these deaths. I believe we're at number 40 for the year. We have a Black trans man, Marquis MJ Jackson, 33 years of age. She was killed in Philadelphia. I think the police are calling this a homicide. He was found in a backyard with an injury to his face and trauma to his head. So it looks like somebody did definitely attack him.
He was known for his interests in fashion, music, martial arts, very involved in his community. He was involved with the William Way Community Center in Philadelphia. More and more what we hear from these terrible, tragic stories of trans people being murdered is that they were very involved in their communities in various ways. We think sometimes there are years ago of people sort of on the margins being murdered. These are people very deeply involved with family and friends and community, and yet they continue to be murdered at a terrible rate in terrible circumstances. One good piece of news for the trans community in Ohio. The legislature there rejected a proposed bill that would have, you know, made it illegal for trans girls to participate in school sports. They did, however, pass a voter suppression bill, but they did the right thing on the trans girls. And in Connecticut, a federal court there, let me just get to this, upheld a lower court ruling for trans school athletes, rejected the challenge by some cis girl plaintiffs who've been trying to litigate this for years. The cis girls had claimed that the presence of the trans girls competing deprived them of the right to be champions. But in fact, they have beaten the trans girls in competitions. These are track competitions a number of times. This is, right. They are not, you know, the trans girls are not sweeping away everything.
Yeah, it's a flawed argument, isn't it?
It is, but that doesn't stop them. you know, rationality is not leading here. I'm looking at other things. Watch out for this. The Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, who's certainly famous on this show, put out a call. He went to all his state agencies and said, I want a list of everyone who has transitioned in the last 2 years.
That makes my blood run cold, you know? That anything like that is terrifying. That we could actually have that happen in America is... I don't like the precedents historically of that kind of thing.
And he has not announced why. Everyone is chilled to the bone, worrying about what he's going to do with this. By the way, they found 16,000 people who had changed their gender marker on their driver's licenses or other state documents. And they said they couldn't possibly track them down and figure out why each of them had done this. Some of them may have been actually transitioning. Some may have had some error they were correcting. Who knows what everybody was doing. Mm. But we're all just sitting here now waiting for Ken Paxton to tell us what he's up to. Mm-hmm. Not good. Mm. Let's tell a nice story in... I'm trying to get back on track with the picture... list.
Sorry, that was my fault.
No, we skip around all the time. Brittany Griner is home. I think the picture we have is of her embracing her wife, Sherelle. Yes, we just wanted to show you that picture. She announced she will go back to basketball and play with the Phoenix Mercury, and also that she will do everything she can to help Paul Whelan get and other prisoners get released from Russia.
Totally. And a quick shout out to Sherelle, the wife. Boy, did I feel for her in this past year. I know, of course, Brittany must have been struggling with the reality of her situation. But for the wife who was left behind, I think that must have been extremely tough. And she did make a nice Instagram post the other day thanking all the people, actually, who had helped her in getting Brittany home. And there were some lovely names in there, Gail King, Robin Roberts. And I just like that she thanked everybody who supported her.
And I like that everybody, every sensible person was respecting their relationship and each of them and referring quite easily to them being married and Sherelle and Brittany as wives and being respectful and supporting them along the way. So that I think was great. All right. A couple of other good news stories. Nancy Pelosi on her stepping down from the speaker's chair in the House has appointed Representative Mondaire Jones from New York, who got aced out of his House of Representatives seat, to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. That's a 6-year term, and he can do a lot of good there investigating civil rights abuses. So thank you to them for that. and Governor Kate Brown of Oregon, who has ended her term, out bisexual, handing over the governor's chair to out lesbian Tina Kotek. Governor Brown has commuted the death penalty sentences for 17 people in Oregon. She says that the death penalty is immoral and doesn't do any good. She has also ordered the dismantling of the execution chamber. And Tina Kotek is also opposed to the death penalty. So I think that will continue. And and one more good news story. In Madison, Wisconsin, a local chef there, Chef Dave Heidi, has a very popular and successful restaurant that has been called Liliana's after his daughter. But his daughter has now transitioned and is Ollie. That's Ollie there with Chef Heidi. So he closed the restaurant, changed the name, and reopened it as Ollie's, and said, "I couldn't have my child's dead name on the restaurant or the t-shirts for the restaurant." And that, you know, wow, fantastic.
Yep. If he can understand that, I'm sure many others can as well.
Exactly. An appeals court in New York has rejected Yeshiva University's latest attempt to disband the LGBTQ support group. They have been ordered to respect it and let it happen. So that's good.
Very good. Don't call yourself a place of education if you're not prepared to educate yourself and all your students. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. And I want to show this video because we are going to run out of time for everything. In Indianapolis, an Amazon driver was caught on video tearing down pride flags in the neighborhood.
On Saturday night, Kelvin and his boyfriend were at their South Broad Ripple home.
As we were getting ready to leave, we heard Ring kind of notify us through our Amazon devices and stuff, and tell us that there was someone at the front door, and I thought it was crazy because we weren't receiving a package.
And when Kelvin opened his app, he saw this video of what appears to be an Amazon driver stealing his pride flag right off his front porch.
My mind honestly went blank. I was confused. I didn't know what I was watching.
Kelvin then followed him, wrote down the license plate, and called police, saying he was shocked to learn the man appeared to be a delivery driver.
He was wearing an Amazon vest, and the van, though, wasn't like an Amazon vehicle or anything, but I feel like I have seen Amazon deliverers use those vans.
Kelvin then posted the video online, quickly learning he wasn't the only one. Roommates Jocelyn and Melissa found these pride flags, including their own, in a dumpster Saturday near their Broad Ripple apartment.
There were so many, and who knows how many more.
Earlier that day, they say a man who looked like an Amazon driver came by and ripped down their flag.
Like, when it happens to you, it's kind of just like, oh my God, like, this is a thing. Like, this actually happens.
When they confronted him, they say he told them he worked for Amazon and was doing God's work.
It feels safe here, so it's unfortunate that something like this happened.
But it was just so windy this weekend that I don't even...
As they wait for answers, Jocelyn and Melissa are keeping the stolen flag safe, and Kelvin is ready to put another one back up.
So we will keep putting up flags until, you know, we will never stop.
Ann and Scott, I just got this statement from Amazon, and they tell us that they took immediate action. This person is no longer delivering packages for Amazon and will not deliver on their behalf again. They also reached out to these customers to apologize. So really great news after this troubling story today.
Wow.
I have a great marketing idea for Amazon, what they can do now. They can, for this coming Pride, they should deliver a free Pride flag with every delivery. That would be, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Sweet. I like that. I don't like the fact that we're going to run out of time. So I'm going to do a couple of more stories in this section and then move on to international news, if that's okay with you. Surprising news from CBST that Eric referred to before. That's Congregation Beth Simchat Torah, the gay synagogue here, or LGBTQ synagogue. Its longtime rabbi, Sharon Kleinbaum, has announced she is retiring. She is not retiring for a year and a half. That's her on the right with Edie Windsor. And Sharon has been everywhere all the time for, I want to say decades. It's not
30
quite.
Years. Her leadership roles really span 30 years. And what I love about his story, I've got a quote here. I never wanted to simply be a female rabbi. I wanted to be a part of a Judaism that is transformed by feminism. And she really has made a big difference with that congregation. And that's the temple that I used to tune in to on Fridays and watch the service, because I just liked how inclusive it was. And the basic message to me is she really has brought her whole cosmic thought and she's really expanded spirituality, as I understood it, in relation to the Jewish faith. So I think she's going to be missed.
Well, she's been such a community leader nonstop that it's impossible for me to believe that she's going to disappear from that work. And I think she says that she's going to go on to other projects, but it's almost impossible to imagine CBST without her. And she just has had an involvement in every single issue and important moment of the LGBTQ community in this city and beyond for those 30 years. She is married to Randy Weingarten, the head of the teachers union, recently identified as the most dangerous person in America by Ted Cruz. But they are quite the powerhouse couple, and we wish Sharon all the best in the coming years. And as I say, she's going to be around for another year and a half, because that's how long it's going to take to find someone who can approach replacing her. But it was a surprise announcement, I think. And I also want to take a minute to remember one of my ACT UP colleagues who died this week, Betty Williams. Died at 85. She was a little older than me, but we were both not like the young gay men who stereotypically are thought of as ACT UP. And they are ACT UP, but there were a whole lot of others of us who were around. And Betty Williams is just unbelievable. She had worked on homeless housing issues for most of her life. And her interview with the ACT UP Oral History Project, I read it again last night, absolutely fascinating. We will link to it in our show note this week. Go to gayusatv.org to sign up for getting that note. She was a relentless Quaker starter of homeless housing facilities, small, loving, sane places that were just so compassionate and so great in taking care of people. And she met up with some ACT UP people who were doing that work along the way. And they were just, you know, wild activists. And they joined forces to be the most wonderful cadre of housing activists within ACT UP. People don't often know about the housing work that was done in ACT UP. Betty Williams, a treasure, a hero, an angel, will be sorely missed, but just heroic in all the work she did.
Absolutely. Please do read that interview. Listen to the video. The interviewee is Sarah Schulman, who's contributed so much to that body of knowledge. And listen also to what Betty says about the Haiti situation with HIV and the illegal testing for HIV of hundreds of Haitians. It's really recent history that we should never forget. So,
well, I'm glad you had a chance to look at that. And Sarah, of course, with Jim Hubbard, they were the creators of the ACT UP Oral History Project, which I at first thought was, oh, don't bother with that. What a waste of time. No one's going to care about the history. Well, it's genius. It is genius. ActUpOralHistory.org. You can lose yourself in that for days. All right, international news. Well, first, the headline: France announced that it is going to hand out free condoms in pharmacies for people 25 and under in an attempt to stop sexually transmitted diseases. They're going to start doing that on January 1st. They're also going to offer free testing for sexually transmitted infections, except HIV, for people under 26, and free emergency contraception for women. That's, I think, post-exposure contraception. And more bad news from the Middle East. Just as we were luxuriating in the joy of the World Cup, we found out that Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and Kuwait are continuing to arrest homosexuals and deporting massage parlor workers. Thanks.
And that's in addition to the conversion therapy center in Qatar that was located just minutes from the World Cup final stadium.
Really depressing. And marriage news from across the globe. Four couples in India have asked the Supreme Court to legalize same-sex marriage. The government is opposed to this, but they expect filings on this are due by January 6th. And people are pretty optimistic about the Supreme Court. In Poland, a lesbian couple married in Germany have had their marriage rejected by Poland. They are Polish, but they went to Germany to get married. They will appeal to the European Court of Human Rights, but Poland is fighting this tooth and nail.
Yeah, I mean, good luck, but it might help pick away at this these LGBT free zones. There's almost like 100 of them, I think, scattered throughout Poland, all the counties that won't let that be part of their public community. So look, we will see.
The marriage movement here took years and years and had to be done city by city, state by state, before we finally reached critical mass and were able to legalize it. And we're worried about it being illegal from our current Supreme Court. So none of this is easy. But I firmly believe this is a worldwide movement that is going to continue to move forward. Jamaica, the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, is going to hear a marriage case from Jamaica. A marriage bill has been introduced in the parliament in Greece. And the British Virgin Islands are going to hold their first ever public referendum. And the subject is same-sex marriage or domestic partnerships. The government is opposed to marriage and opposed to courts deciding. They want the people to vote. Be careful what you wish for. All right. Do you have any AIDS or other health news we should be looking at?
I don't have anything current except mentioning Betty, but that's it.
Exactly. So entertainment news. Well, we told you that Gerard Carmichael will be hosting the Golden Globes in January. And we've now heard that Ryan Murphy, the great prolific producer of many wacky gay productions in television and movies, is going to get the Carol Burnett Award. Really? and he produced Dahmer, one of the things he produced this year, that has four Golden Globe nominations. That sort of is in line with the historic Golden Globes.
Yeah, I mean, that's all sort of controversial. I haven't been able to get my head around whether or not the LGBTQ tag was justified. But, you know, Murphy did say that he was upset that Netflix removed the tag. He did think it's a genre issue for us as a community. So this is all rather interesting and controversial. We'll see what happens when
edgy.
He gets the award.
Edgy. Hmm. Should we read Andy's Broadway reviews? Do you happen to have them in front of you?
I do. Shall I skip through them quickly and tell you what Andy goes to the theater? I'm very jealous, Andy, that you don't ever ask me to be your plus one. I'd like you to consider it. I'm actually really good company.
Absolutely, because I won't go to 99% of them. So, yes, you're next.
Oh, but I'm not such a great date, Andy. I'm sorry. No. So Some Like It Hot.
Better than me.
Better than you. Well, now, Andy says Some Like It Hot is going to please those who like old-fashioned Broadway musicals and that there are some things for those looking for a contemporary twist on a movie comedy favorite. Strongest are the cross-dressing leads, Christian Ball and non-binary J. Harrison Gee. He thinks some of the supporting roles are less successful. He has a lot of thoughts about Ohio State Murders, which is the Broadway debut of 91-year-old Black playwright Adrienne Kennedy's. And it deals with the terrible racism she faced as an undergraduate in this country in the 1940s. It's an important piece starring Audra McDonald, who we love, is in the lead. And that's what I've heard too, that go see it just for Audra. And the collaboration, which it stars Jeremy Pope as Basquiat and Paul Bettany as Andy Warhol. To me, it looks terrific. I haven't seen this yet myself, but Andy says this is often very funny and sometimes wrenching, and it touches on many of the bases of their lives, sometimes a little too neatly, but hey, that's biography, I guess.
I think the collaboration was his favorite of those. I did see Ohio State Murders with him, and it was a little,
you didn't love it.
Mannered. Yeah, we weren't crazy about it. I do like Sex Lives of College Girls season 2. I liked the first season better, I think, but there is a ton of lesbian action in season 2, and I would certainly recommend it. They have brought L Word Generation Q. A couple of years ago, had a trans character, Max, very controversial because they were sort of imbuing him with roid rage. They have a new one this year, Micah, and they brought them together, and it's quite charming. And Max now has 4 kids. And I continue to watch We're Here on HBO, and I cannot recommend this show highly enough. This is the 3 drag queens who go around the country to very red right-wing towns. And it's so moving and so smart and so educational for us. And I really recommend We're Here on HBO Max. You haven't caught any of that, have you?
No, I mean, I'm not that huge. I'm a movie person myself. I tend to find the binging really wears me out, but I will take your advice on those. I believe you'd be right. And I love that the Sex Lives of College Girls, I know Mindy Kaling is behind that. So
yes,
obviously that's going to have some thought put into it.
Well, Dairy Girls is still my top pick. If you haven't seen that, you got to see that with the subtitles on.
But, because you can't understand those accents, can you?
The Irish accents are just too thick, but it's excellent. But We're Here, I would really urge people to watch that. All right, Mary, we've done our first of 3, and I really want to thank the viewers again for your support of Gay USA. Please feel free to continue supporting us and go to gayusatv.org to get on our mailing list and to figure out how to support the show. Did we survive this week, Mary?
We did. We survived.
And we hope that Eric Botcher survives too. Thank you to him for coming on. Andy is off for a couple more weeks, but we'll be here and trying to fit all the news into the hour and not have to drop stories. I'm going to keep the ones we had to drop and maybe catch up with them next week. But thank you for joining us. We have 30 seconds. You got any last thought you want to throw at the viewers?
I'm going to say good on Disney for upping their quotient of LGBTQ characters this year. You knocked it out of the park, and you weren't doing so good before. So thank you.
Yes.
And happy holidays to everybody out there. Thank you for watching me today and not turning off when you saw my face.
Oh, please. yes, GLAAD reported that Disney is now the #1 studio in terms of LGBTQ characters on screen.